What's up? This is Ryan Reese. I'm excited to be touring the Holy Land this year with my parents, Raul and Sharon Reese. It's going to be epic. Every time I go to Israel, you learn something new and you literally see the Bible come to life. A few years back, I was sitting at the Garden of Gethsemane and they were telling us that story about Jesus when he was at the crossroads, not my will, but thy will be done. And after they shared that story, that was the story that impacted my life forever. And I would love for you guys to come out and join us to see what God wants to do in your life. Maybe you're at that crossroads and you want to follow God 100%. This trip to Israel will literally change your life. Come out and join us this year. It's going to be epic.
Get together with Raul, Sharon, and Ryan Reese for a trip to the land of Israel, April 23rd through May 3rd, 2018. For more information, go to somebodylovesyou.com. That's somebodylovesyou.com. And click on the tab Israel 2018 or call Inspire Travel at 714-957-8606. That's 714-957-8606.
To me, it's incredible that when you read the gospel and you begin to see that these are the genealogies that leads us to the grace of God, and the reason they lead us to the grace of God is because of the four names that are there that are women's names. Very important names when you look at them.
I am falling.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We are glad you've joined us for our continuing salvation series and a powerful message of redemption. Today, as we join Raul in looking at the genealogy of Christ, we'll see that God's grace covers every sin. No matter what's in your past, you can be forgiven when you come to the Lord in genuine repentance. The truth is, God doesn't write anyone off and receives great glory in the transformation of our lives. If you have your Bible, we invite you to turn now to Matthew chapter 1, as Raul Reese begins today's lesson, The Grace of God.
Matthew shows us the royal line of David through Solomon. And then Luke shares with us the bloodline of Jesus all the way from Nathan to Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we'll see that in a moment. He starts in chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the genealogies of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah, his brothers. Judah begot Perez. Perez begot Hezron. And Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Abinadab. Abinadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Solomon. And then Solomon begot Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed and Ruth by Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David, king of Israel. David the king begot Solomon, and by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon. And Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah, another person. There was a curse in the genealogies. He was childless. He says, at about the time they were carried away into Babylon. And after they were brought back from Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, Shealtiel, Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel begot Abidud, Abidud begot Eliakim, Eliakim begot Azor. Azor, Sadok, Sadok begot Akim, Akim, Elud. And then Elud, Eliezer, Eliezer begot Nathan, Nathan begot Jacob. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, whom was born Jesus, who is called the Mashiach, the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David, notice, are 14. And from David into the captivity of Babylon are 14. And from the captivity of Babylon into Jesus Christ are 14 generations. These are very important. Now you know why we don't tell the young convert to read chapter 1 of Matthew. A lot of names to carry through. But here we have all of the names that lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the most important. As we looked at the first section of the 14 generations, it takes a history down to David. David was a man that was not only welded Israel into a nation, but he was made also the king of Israel. And David became one of the most famous men in the Bible, in the Old Testament, a type of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the second section, it takes us and gives us a story down to the exile of Babylon. Remember, the people of God had become so sinful worshiping other gods that God decided, as he had judged already Babylon, was going to be judged, and then the Medes and the Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the Roman Empire would come into power. But as Babylon was not only a powerful nation, we see that God used Babylon to come and take away the people of God for 70 years into captivity. And the reason is because Israel was worshiping all kinds of other gods. They left the main source of God. They left Jesus himself and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. So to me, it's incredible that when you read the gospel and you begin to see that these are the genealogies that leads us to the grace of God, and the reason they lead us to the grace of God is because of the four names that are there that are women's names. Very important names when you look at that. So when Matthew writes the book of Matthew, he decides to go ahead and write the genealogy of Christ, and he mentions four women in the Bible there. Number one, let's look at Tamar. Tamar is a very interesting woman. We go back to the book of Genesis chapter 38, where Tamar was the mother of two illegitimate sons, Perez and Zerah, by Judah. Judah was her father-in-law. So Judah went on a journey, and Tamar went ahead and went to that city where Judah was, and she dressed up as a prostitute. And Judah saw her and went up to her and seduced her and paid her and actually got involved with her sexually, and then he left, but gave her his staff. So she took the staff and then she went home, and the next time, you know, that he sent his slave to pay the prostitute, she wasn't there. And he said, there's no prostitute in that city. So what happens as time goes on, and all of a sudden they begin to say that Tamar was pregnant with a child. And so they brought her into the presence to judge her. Why? Because in the Old Testament, anybody that would have sex before marriage, they would stone you to death. And if you committed adultery, both parties would die by stoning. Very important to understand. So when they brought her, Tamar, into the presence of Judah, she said, because they were going to prosecute her, they were going to stone her. She said, whoever gave me this staff, he says, it belongs to him. And then he said, wow, that's my staff. He said, she's more righteous than I have ever been. She is in the line of Jesus Christ, an imperfect woman. Why? Because God chooses imperfect people like you and me. Like you and me, sinners, not perfect people. Secondly, how about Rahab? Rahab lived in the city of Jericho. Jericho was an amazing, amazing city. Today it still is. The children of Israel were coming into the land. So what they did is they sent out spies to spy out the land. They went into Jericho. They saw Jericho. And then they found out that some Israelites were in the city. So they were going to kill them. So here the woman that lived in Jericho by the name of Rahab, a prostitute, said, you guys come into my house. Go up into the attic. I'll hide you until this thing passes through. And at night you can go down through the window and you can go home again. So she did that. But before they left, they told Rahab, the next time we come, we're coming to wipe out Jericho. What we want you to do is to actually put a cord out your window, kind of a red cord. It speaks of redemption. And God will redeem your house and we will not destroy you or your family. Again, the grace of God demonstrated in the woman by the name of Rahab. She was a woman best known for her prominent role that captured not only Jericho, but her profession was a prostitute. She is found in Joshua 2:1, Matthew 1:5. She's found also in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11:31 and James chapter 2:25. Rahab, the prostitute. And then how about the third one, Ruth? Ruth was a Moabite. You go back to the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 19, Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, his wife, two daughters, they move out of Sodom and Gomorrah. His wife turns back to look at the city. Man, she gets nuked by the Lord. She's done. She turns into a pillar of salt. And then her husband, notice Lot, two daughters, they go up to this little city called Soar, and they go up there, and all of a sudden the fire and brimstone comes down, destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the daughters begin to think, wow, you know, we're the only ones alive. God destroyed the world. Why don't we make our father drunk, and then I'm the oldest, I'll go in sexually with him, and then tomorrow night you go into him. So the first one went in, lay with him. The next day, got him drunk again. She laid. So both of them now lay with him. And a few months later, they were pregnant. And all of a sudden, they find themselves with a child. Two children will be born. One will be an Ammonite and one will be a Moabite. They were cursed by God. And yet Ruth comes to what? To the line of Jesus Christ. And she is a Moabite. God doesn't choose perfect people. And when you study about this woman, Ruth, she was a daughter-in-law. Remember, she was the wife of Boaz. And Boaz, notice that was later on after her first husband died. She was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. Remember Naomi? Her husband was Elimelech. And Naomi was her mother-in-law. And then she also becomes, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, the ancestor of Christ. And then in the book of Ruth, we see the story, listen, chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, very simple, the story of redemption. What I find interesting is between the book that we have before, in the book of Ruth, between the book previously to that and the book after that, you have the grace of God between those two books, the book of Ruth, before the judgment of God comes. So it's really important for the body of Christ, for the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. These genealogies may not be important to you or to me, but they are important now when we find out about these women. They were in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to demonstrate His love, His grace, His mercy upon each one of us that are here today. And those listening through the airwaves. And those watching through the internet. Very important to know the word of God. And then listen to the last one, the fourth one. This one is really amazing. Her name is Bathsheba. Remember that name? One of the most popular kings of all kings, King David. And David, as he was anointed to be the next king of Israel, he started very simple, very humble. He was a man of blood. And as David became the next king, as he was slaughtering his enemy, as he became king of Israel, as he got through his 30s, 40s, and 50s, by the time he was about 55 years old, he was out in the battle with warring people. And in the battle, he decided to get some R&R. He comes back to Jerusalem. He comes back to his palace. And what does he do? He goes into the house, you know, where he lives, takes a bath, gets ready, put on his clothes, and he comes up for fresh air in his balcony. And as he comes out, he sees the beautiful city of Jerusalem. Wow, this is amazing. The Mount of Olives across. And then all of a sudden, he looks down, and on top of those roofs, there were flat roofs in Jerusalem. There was the most beautiful woman you ever saw in your life, bathing on top of the roof. And David, not just once there, he just meant continued to look and to look and to look until finally he desired her. Her husband Uriah was in David's army. He was a Hittite. He was on the battle. And what he did, because knowing her husband was gone, What does he do? He writes a note, gives it to his guard. He goes down to her house, gives the note to her. She comes up and is brought to the house of David. He goes in, he actually commits adultery with her, and then he lets her go. Like most guys do, they use a woman and they get rid of her. She goes home. 3 months later, she writes a little letter. I'm pregnant with your child. According to the law of God, adultery is by stoning. David is trying to cover his tracks. Now, what do you mean you're pregnant? I'm pregnant. He starts walking up and down thinking, man, what am I going to do? And the devil comes along and says, you know what? Take a piece of paper, write down Uriah's name, send it to the forefront of the battle to Joab, your cousin, and tell him to send him home for some R&R so he can be with his wife. Good idea, man. Writes it, gives it to him. Here he comes. He says, Uriah, I am so glad you're here. I'm making a party for you tonight. I want you to come and we're going to celebrate. And then you're going to go home to your wife and be with her a couple of days. He comes. They have the party. He drinks. He goes away. But on his way out, he's walking through. He looks to the side and here are all his men. They don't get to go home to their wives. So he says, what? As a true leader, I'm not going to go to my wife. I want to sleep with my men. So he sleeps with his men. Next morning, David wakes up. He's really happy. And they say, did you know that Uriah didn't go home last night? What? He didn't go home. No, he slept with his men outside. David said, oh, no. What am I going to do? And the devil comes to him and says, hey, throw a second party. Throw another party. So he throws another party and he comes, eats, drinks. And then David says, okay, now go home tonight. Oh, yeah, yeah, going home tonight. He never made it home. The next morning, David finds out, oh, no, what am I going to do? What can I do? Like so many people, what am I going to do? Instead of repenting, you're looking for a way out and you can't get out. You'll go deeper into a pit. David, listening once again, very, very, very strong, the devil says to him, kill him. Murder him. Then she can be your wife. He writes a note. And check this out. He writes a note to Joab, his cousin, in the battle. He calls him, Uriah, to come in. Seals it. And Uriah carries his death note. Gives it to Joab. Joab opens it up. He says, okay, you guys, we're going to the forefront of the battle. Puts him right in the front. He gets killed. Joab writes, mission accomplished, sir. David says, all right. Call her to be my wife. Brings her up to the palace. Becomes his wife. She's pregnant now. It's David's baby. No problem. The baby is born. The baby becomes sick. Now check this out. For that whole year that David had committed that sin, God didn't speak to him. David was backslidden. And when that baby was born, he got sick and died. God took him away. That's why David, when he found out, he just got up and he left. And then, check this out, because he wouldn't repent, God sent the prophet Nathan. And Nathan came to David and said, David, I want to talk to you about something. There was a rich man that had a lot of ewe lambs, and there was a poor guy next to him that had one little ewe lamb that he loved with all his heart. It was his pet. And this guy was having a party, but he wanted to kill any of his lambs. So he goes next door, opens the door, grabs his lamb, kills it, and gives it to his friends to eat and to enjoy. And Nathan says, what would you do to such a man? David says, that man deserves to die. You're that man. You are that man. You are a man of blood. You took somebody else's wife, adultery, and you committed murder, David. David fell to the ground and repented before God. That's why God says that David was a man after God's own heart. He truly, truly, sincerely repented. He wrote Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. Read it. You will blow your minds. David's heart is poured out. Think about how this morning so many of us, not just adultery, not just fornication, all these major sins, which are not major, lying, cheating, stealing, Whatever it may be in your life, and maybe husbands that are here, wives that are here, maybe you got something going on the side with somebody else. And yet you sit here in church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, Monday through Sunday in your home with your children, with your husband, or with your wife, and yet thinking you're getting away with it. You're not. You're not. God will judge you. But God gives you, we talked about grace, God gives you a space to repent. Days, months, years, but he wants you to repent. And what blew me away is that I looked at Bathsheba here, how not only she committed adultery with David, but at the same time, think again of the grace of God that falls upon each one of us. Number one, in salvation. God knows that you are a sinner. I am a sinner. We're lost because we have never come to Jesus Christ. We're going to go to hell. And yet he says that hell was not made for you and me, for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25, 41. And then he gives you a space of time. Since you're a little kid, a teenager, a young adult, you become an adult and then you become an old man, an old woman. But you never repent. Until your last breath, God will give you an opportunity to receive his love and grace and mercies. He will. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Salvation is the free gift of God. Listen, Acts 15, 11. That we believe that through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. And then it's God's call to us. Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God, who separated me, Paul, from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace. Every one of us were called by the grace of God. Thirdly, we come by faith. In Acts 18:27, and when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when they arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through the grace of God. The grace of God, or merited favor for each one of us individually.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ries. And if you'd like to review today's message, we'll be glad to send you an unedited copy for a donation of any amount. Our phone number to order that is 800-634-9165. And when you make your request, just ask for the lesson titled, The Grace of God. Well, we hope you've been encouraged today to believe God's grace is greater than any sin or mistake in your life. And as you meditate on the unwavering power of the Lord's love for you, we'd like to tell you about a brand new MP3 collection of three messages simply titled Salvation. Each lesson explores more of what the Bible has to say about God's plan to offer every one of us his gift of restoration and relationship. If you've never come to the Lord and asked for forgiveness, and you have some questions about what it means to be saved from your sins, this resource will equip you with biblical insight. Visit SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com or call 800-634-9165 and place your order for Rawls' all-new Salvation MP3 collection of three messages. We'll send this resource to you for a gift of $7.95 plus shipping and handling. The phone number once again is 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order the resource by writing, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Well, our goal is to equip you with biblical truth that will help you grow in your understanding of who God is, and we welcome your feedback. We're also happy to pray with you as you consider your response to the Lord's offer of salvation. It is truly our joy to join you in coming before God's throne of grace. We'd like to remind you that every dollar given to Somebody Loves You Radio is used to win the lost, build up believers, and strengthen the local church. Your tax-deductible gifts are the only means of support we have, so we greatly appreciate your partnership in this ministry. Now, on tomorrow's program, you'll find assurance that you don't have to earn God's favor. You can simply receive his grace by faith, and along with that, the rich outpouring of his love. Now, once again, here's Raul with a final message from today's lesson.
Listen, Romans 3:24. being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption to take care of our sins once and for all by the blood of Jesus Christ. When I come by faith, I ask Christ to come into my life. And I ask him to cleanse me, to wash me, and to save me. But you got to humble yourself before God. And then check this out, forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7. In Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. You can frustrate the grace of God, you can reject the grace of God, or you can come by faith to the grace of God by repenting and coming by faith and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then he'll cleanse you, wash you by his blood, and he'll write your name in the book of life.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.